Fourth and one. Elliott is stuffed. Oh, the Broncos. Justin Simmons came up from the safety spot with a huge hit. And Denver takes over.
They can get off the field here. These are huge early wins for this Denver defense.
Fourth and two. Prescott over the middle. Incomplete. Don't know if that got tipped to the line. You see Vic Fangio with a big yeah. Bridgewater, Gregory coming on the rush. Block going deep. Gunning it deep for Patrick. He's got it for the touchdown. A 44-yard bomb to Tim Patrick.
What a special young player.
And a punt block. It is knocked around and picked up by Denver. But Dallas will have the football.
And that's how this thing wrapped up, 30-16 for the Broncos over the Cowboys yesterday. My goodness, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Hey, welcome. We're at live and on location for the whole show today from Crazy Carl's Pizza off of the Timberline Road location. So we're going to have the Scott Patchen Show at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about a rough weekend in college football. Colorado State losing the border war to Wyoming over the weekend. The UNC Bears getting shellacked by Montana. Then you see Air Force losing as well in overtime. And somehow, some way, the Buffs get the win. Go figure. I don't know. And then the Broncos go on the road to take on the 6-1 Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott coming off the injury. He did not look hurt at all. That was a bizarre situation. But you look at it. And those fourth downs that Michael played, those fourth down attempts, I think the Cowboys were 0-for-4 in going for it on fourth down. Three of those were really within when the game was still at hand or, you know, relatively close for the Cowboys. I think the last one, the third one, it was 19-0. But you think if you get that, you make it a one-score game, you move down there. Those fourth down conversions could have changed everything. And that's why you see teams punt it. Back in the day, although this year teams are going for it on fourth down, you see teams punt it because it is a brutal momentum change if you do not get it. And the Cowboys go for it twice early on fourth down and don't get it. And I think that that's when the Broncos, they took offense to that. They felt slighted by that. And they used that momentum to push on. And they, 6-0 at the end of the first, started to believe the Broncos could do this thing at halftime, 16-0, but there was still that part of me wondering, all right, what's going to happen here? When are the Cowboys going to turn it on? And they never did. Defensively, the Broncos just shut down everything the Cowboys were trying to do. They only ran the ball 16 times because it wasn't working early, and they just flat out had to get away from it in the second half. So it's going to be fun to talk about that today. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Again, live and on location at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Scott Patchen will join me, CSU Rams defensive lineman. We're going to make him try the pineapple pizza today. We're going to have some fun. I appreciate these players coming in to talk about these rough losses and everything. I don't want to say that's the downside to our KFK player network. That's the real side. That's the raw side. It's not always going to be win, 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 and just puppies and kittens talking about W's. And unfortunately, this year has been a little bit rough for all of the teams that we cover as far as college. On the Broncos side of things, though, you're sitting at 5-4. You have a chance to beat you're going up against Philadelphia next week. That is my game of the week. And you go up against Philadelphia at home. You have a shot to be 6-4 going into your bye week. And then after that bye week, you got the Chargers coming out the other side. That could be a big AFC West front-running, deciding game suddenly. That's what these kind of wins will do for you. They are franchise changers going forward. I mean, what they do to follow up, that's why that's my game of the week. You know, I could have looked at CSU and Air Force. It's a rivalry game. I could have looked at Ed McCaffrey's final game of his first year, official year, as the head coach. But I wanted to go this route because I'm very curious to see how the Broncos follow this up. They've won two in a row, and you could lose all of that momentum that you just gained if you somehow drop this game to Philadelphia. I'm reminded of, I go back to 2018. 2018, I believe Vance Joseph is still the coach, and and you have a situation where the Broncos started 2-0, then they lost four in a row, won a game, and then they were 3-6 after losing to Houston. That was the Case Keenum year, if you remember, 3-6. They found a way. They go up against the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Bengals. They won three in a row, and the Broncos were 6-6. They pulled themselves out of the basement. They put themselves in the thick of it as far as playoff, at least the conversation. And then what did they do? They lost their final four games of the season. San Francisco, a team that they should have beat at the time. Cleveland, a team they should have beat at the time. Oakland and the Chargers. They got smoked in all four of those games. That's my fear. Looking at this right now is, okay, you just made yourself relevant again. You found a way to beat the Cowboys in a game that you were not supposed to win. You were a 10-point dog in this thing, and you somehow found a way to not just win, but click. Everything went right for you against the Cowboys. I mean, I'm looking at the stat line here. I don't need to. Pat Shurmur ran the ball. They ran the ball early. Javonte Williams, 17 carries. Melvin Gordon, 21 carries. Between the two of them, 38 carries. 38 carries on the day. I don't even mind seeing a little bit more there, but I'll take it. If in this day and age, if you can get me one running back with 20-plus carries and the other guy getting close, good things are going to happen if you have that dedication. If your offensive line, you heard Dalton Reisner today in one of their press conferences talking about we need that to be our identity, is to run the ball. Teddy Bridgewater threw it 28 times. That's all right. It's not bad. Teddy had a good game. He wasn't perfect, but he did have a good game. Now, I was a little worried, though. You get that fourth down stop in the very first possession for the Cowboys. They come off of that beautiful return. As Vic Fangio said, special teams didn't show up on Sunday. Maybe not. But you get that beautiful return from the Cowboys, and you're thinking, uh-oh, this could get ugly fast. They end up having to go for it on fourth down. The Broncos make the stop, and then it's a quick three and out for the offense. You're thinking, all right, here we go again. The defense is going to give you some hope. And the offense isn't going to be able to convert. Well, and go for it on fourth down again. The Broncos get the stop, and they answer that time. End up just getting, they got six, missed the extra point. Brandon McManus had an off game. The guy that's usually their best player, the guy that never misses, had an off game, missing a field goal, missing an extra point. But everything else went right. And that's when you have to look at it and say, man, was this a perfect storm? Was this Dallas overlooking things? Maybe their worst game of the season? Was this the Broncos taking the Von Miller exit, the trade, and all the naysayers, including me, saying, hey, what are we doing here? Are we in that rebuild? Who knows? We're going to find out. That's why that Philadelphia game to me is absolutely huge going forward. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I said this after the trade, after the Von Miller trade. I said, is there a way the Broncos can get their cake and eat it too? Meaning, we treat Von Miller right by trading him away so he has a better shot. We also get something for him, a second and third round pick, but also not declaring it to be full-on rebuild mode. I seriously thought there was. After hearing George Payton, I kind of bought into it because, let's face it, Von Miller, love him to death, we all do. He wasn't that big of a factor other than those first three games, which everybody was a big factor in those first three games because they annihilated those teams. So I did think, all right, if you're going to do it, now might be the time. His value wasn't there. He wasn't a big producer. And then when you look at what these other guys did, Jonathan Cooper coming in, getting sacks, and this team was getting after the quarterback. I mean, Jonathan Cooper, who knows, man? I mean, so far so good. It's been fun to watch him grow with this team. Defensively, that was the best they've looked all year, even better than those first three games of the regular season. Yeah, Dallas scored 16 in the fourth, but that's what you call the prevent defense. Just don't give up anything fast. If they're going to drive down, let them take their time and do it. But that was the best I've seen this defense play. And that was the best I've seen Pat Shurmur as far as the offensive play calling. And again, nothing mind-blowing, nothing crazy. It's running the football, putting the ball in Melvin Gordon's hands, Javonte Williams' hands, and then you see what you can do. These are the kind of games, folks, that save seasons, they save jobs, they change the trajectory of what you're going to do. And now when you're looking at the rest of the schedule for Denver, I mean, it's realistic, guys. My 10 to 11 win prediction, and I'm going to say 11, is looking pretty good. I don't know that it's quite I'd have to look at it. I don't have it in front of me, but I'd have to see, you know, how it worked out where I had them. But I don't think I had them too far off of being 5-4 at this stage with a real chance to not run the table but make a move. They're in the hunt as of today. And now suddenly you're looking at a Monday Night Football game between the Steelers and the Bears, and you're looking at that game saying, hey, that's a game you need Pittsburgh to lose to help the Broncos playoff chances. So yeah, that kind of win. You lose that game and you're 4-5 and you're thinking, okay, well, maybe they can beat Philadelphia, but who knows? I'm telling you guys, Philadelphia's winnable. Home against the Chargers, is that winnable? Sure seems like it right now. At Kansas City, I don't think anybody right now is scared of the Chiefs. Home against Detroit, that's winnable. Home against Cincinnati, who's just been busted the last 2 weeks. There's a lot of winnable games here. At the Raiders just lost to the Giants. You know, you're at the Chargers again, and then you finish up against Kansas City. Yeah, a lot of that's going to be how you play within the division. But before the Dallas game, I looked at it and said, Philly, Detroit, Cincy. Those are three wins that I've got you for. That would have put you at 7. You find a way to steal a couple of these division games, you are going to be looking at that 9-10, maybe 11 win range. If you can do exactly what we saw on Sunday. Jeff Legwold writing a piece in ESPN this morning saying, hey, that's the formula. If they can copy that formula, they'll win. It's easier said than done. I still wouldn't be surprised if we see Sunday, Pat Shurmur says, nope, I'm going to prove a point, and just airs it out and comes out throwing the football. I mean, we've seen that before. So I still want to see a couple of games where we really commit to the run game. I was very impressed with this defense. Absolutely stunned, impressed, whatever word you want to call it, man. It blew me away. You know, to see this performance with all the injuries, when you lose your captain. I mean, Justin Simmons looked like he was fired up. He was ready to go. Guys were flying to the ball like we haven't seen in a while. So, I mean, if you can recapture that from the film, I mean, look at the stat line for some of these guys that weren't really projected to be big pieces to the puzzle this season. You know, I mean, Baron Browning with 6 tackles. Jonathan Cooper with the 2 sacks. That was huge. Caden Stearns had a really good game as far as pass coverage. Had 1 pass deflected, but great game by him. Patrick Surtain goes out of this game. Like, the broadcasters didn't really talk to us much about it. He just goes out of the game. And, oh, by the way, Surtain's in the locker room. Yet they still played well. Ronald Darby had a good game. Kyle Fuller, like a redemption game. We were ready for him to pack his bags a week ago. You had a lot. Like, that's what I said about, I tweeted this out. I said, these are the kind of games that earn extensions on your contracts and save coaches' jobs. I mean, I'm not by any means saying Vic Fangio is out of the woods, because you could easily lose to Philadelphia. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost to Philadelphia. We got picks coming up later this week, but, you know, on paper, it looks like the Broncos should win that game. But if you lose to Philly, you lose all of the momentum that you just gained by going into Dallas and beating the Cowboys, because then it washes out, and then we go, okay, was that just an off day for the Cowboys, and perhaps the best day for Denver? They were riding high off of the us-against-the-world mentality. So I think that this Philadelphia game, in many respects, is bigger than the Cowboys game. Now, the win, that win against the Cowboys, perhaps the biggest win we've seen since Super Bowl 50? I mean, they've had, like I said, that stretch in 2019 when they won 3 games in a row, those were big games, but that was to get you at from 3-6. Denver was 4-4, not out of the playoff race by any means. Everybody was kind of writing them off, saying, oh, it kind of does feel like a rebuild. But there was that part of me in the back of my head that thought, okay, there's an opportunity here for the Broncos to kind of get the best of both worlds. Trade Vaughn, get their picks, do him right, get him to Los Angeles, treat him right. But at the same time, it's not like Vaughn was that big of an impact player for Denver, especially this season. So I look at it and think it was the perfect move. I mean, George Payton's looking like a genius at this point. Vic Fangio is kind of got people on his side, but again, you lose all of that if you lose to Philadelphia. More Broncos Cowboys aftermath. Again, Scott Patchen, the Scott Patchen Show, starting at 1 o'clock. He'll be joining us, Colorado State Rams defensive lineman, to talk about we're gonna have to get there. We're gonna talk about the bronze boot, the border war That was, and it was a tough one. The Rams had their moments, but fizzled out again, and you have Coach Addazio furious again at the end of this one. Whew. Is it going to get worse before it gets better? The Rams have three more games left. Their goals are dwindling. Certainly not a contender to win the Mountain West, to go to the Mountain West championship game. They'd have to win out to get into a bowl game. And they're already 0-1 in their rivalry games with Air Force coming up this weekend. Air Force loses to Army in what I thought was a sensational football game. The game goes to overtime. But you're going to have a pissed off Air Force team. There's no other way to say it. It's going to be in Fort Collins. That'll be nice. But you're going to have a pissed off Air Force team, and we'll see what CSU can do. All right, we got a lot to get to. Short time to do it already. Live and on location from Crazy Carl's Pizza, the location off of Timberline. There's a Qdoba right around us, a Grease Monkey. I think there's a King Supers in this parking lot as well. So stop by, say hello. Scott will be in at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to catching up with him. We get our Power to Play Sports poll question. Go answer that in the meantime. After the Broncos go 5-4, after you see this team sitting at 5-4, where do you realistically think they'll end this season? Are they going to sputter and miss the playoffs? Are they going to earn a wild card spot, which as of today they wouldn't? Win the AFC West? Or do one better? Climb all the way to the top. They're only two games behind the Titans. And get a top seed in the AFC. And some of you are freaking out at that question to say, they could get the top seed in the AFC. Who in the AFC scares you to death right now? Seriously, who in the AFC absolutely just puts the fear of God into you? Because I'm looking at the standings, and you had the Bills lose yesterday to the Jaguars. That was a team that was maybe the favorite to go do something. You got the Pats at 5-4. Baltimore 6-2, but man, they struggled mightily against Minnesota. Tennessee 7-2. Can they keep that rolling without Derrick Henry? I mean, yeah, they found a way to beat the Rams, and I don't know what was going on with the Rams yesterday or last night, but the Titans found a way. But other than that, I mean, look at the AFC West. Chiefs there, Raiders, Chargers. I'm not saying the Broncos are better than any of those teams I just listed, but I'm not easily saying that those teams are much better than Denver, at least at this stage. It was a weird week, though. So more of that coming up. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. See where you think the Broncos will wrap the season. When it's all said and done, will they make the playoffs? Will they sputter out? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live and on location from Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins, the location right off of Timberline Road. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Your Bears basketball are the voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Do want to shout out to No Limit Collectibles. They just moved their location. They're now in Greeley. They were in Loveland. Move to Greeley, if you guys know where Cables is located, Highland Park Lanes, kind of in that area, well, across the street from Highland Park Lanes, but in that same kind of building complex there as Cables. So it's No Limit Collectibles, man. I mean, you want your sports memorabilia, get that man cave, that office looking sharp, then you want to check out No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade, there's no limit to what you can collect. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Currently at 5-4, how will the season wrap for the Broncos? Wild card spot, or they'll sputter and miss out in the playoffs, earn the top seed in the AFC playoffs, or win the AFC West? Which I suppose if they win the AFC West, they could earn the top seed, so they could do both. But assuming they win the AFC West, and the Titans perhaps take the number one seed, what do you think? 37% now. So we did move up a little bit. A lot of the hooligans are negative this morning. But now 37% saying they'll get a wild card spot. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Let me know what you think there. I think it's pretty believable at this stage. Now, when you look at the standings, it's weird that we're looking at nine games in. We are still looking at the Broncos as far as playoff standings, as the race continues here. And like tonight, you look at tonight. This is a game Broncos country should be watching, should be paying attention to what the Steelers do. So I mean, so right now in the AFC playoffs, Tennessee would be the number one seed at 7-2. Then it would be the Baltimore Ravens. So Tennessee would get the first round bye. Since we added the 17th game, we've changed things around a little bit. You just get one team with the bye. So Tennessee would be number one. They'd get the bye. Then it would be Baltimore. Third would be the Chargers. Again, monster game coming up in a few weeks for the Broncos, assuming they can beat Philadelphia. Fourth place, the Buffalo Bills sitting at 5-3. The Las Vegas Raiders would be the sitting at 5-3. Pittsburgh at 5-3. And then the New England Patriots sitting at 5-4. So very interesting when you're looking at this thing going forward, man, as far as the playoff race at this stage. Kansas City sitting at eighth spot. So you'd have Tennessee first round, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Buffalo, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, New England, and you have the Broncos right there in the mix with Cincinnati and Cleveland. And again, Cincinnati, that's going to be a game coming up for the Broncos. If they're still in the thick of it, they can knock a team out moving forward. So some big opportunities coming up for Denver. They just have to take care of them. They have everything. They have all of their goals right in front of them, and it's crazy. I mean, we dreamt a little bit on Friday's show saying if Denver somehow, some way, were to beat Dallas, they'd be 5-4 with a very winnable game coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. So heck of an opportunity awaits the Broncos for sure. Maybe they could do it. We'll find out. When we come back quickly, I'm going to look at the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets beat the Rockets on Saturday. Boy, that Saturday was depressing, wasn't it? I mean, with all the losses that you had, with Air Force losing, with CSU losing, with UNC losing. I know the Buffs won. Brendan Lewis, there's some good things there, and I want to get to that if we have time today for sure tomorrow. But it was almost, for the most part, a miserable Saturday. But the Joker saved the day. We're going to talk about the Nuggets for a bit coming up next. First, Michael, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins. So I had never been to Crazy Carl's Pizza up until about 6, 7, 8 months ago or so. We started working on some of these deals. We wanted to get more players on the radio doing this name, image, and likeness thing. And so met these guys, and my wife and I, we swear by them. It's like a tradition. We get Crazy Carl's Pizza. It's just the best pizza around. Seriously, man, I'm going to have some here at 2 o'clock today. And you know Scott's coming in. Scott Patchen. Got the Scott Patchen show starting at 1 o'clock. We're going to make him try pineapple pizza. That's what he's going to try. Because he says pineapple does not belong on pizza. Maybe he's right, but I think if anyone were to make it work, it would be Crazy Carl's. So we're going to try it, and we're going to see for ourselves. Boy, Saturday was interesting for many reasons. You know, you had the rough situation for CSU, for UNC, but in Air Force losing in overtime to Army, that was one of my favorite games to watch. Two teams that just knock you in the mouth over and over again, run the ball, made the best running team win. Occasionally, we're going to pass it when you're not ready. But that was a great game. Didn't end the way Air Force wanted it to. Then the Nuggets played. The Nuggets played at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. It always seems like Denver doesn't play very well when they have games that are in the day, whether that's early in the day, mid-afternoon, what have you. And they didn't play particularly well against the Rockets. Rockets, not a good team. They were 1-7 before taking on the Nuggets on Saturday. Denver kind of struggled with them throughout the game. It was tight. In fact, it came down to a last-second play. Nikola Jokic had 28 points. 14 rebounds, 2 assists. When I look at those numbers, I say nobody's getting open. Nobody is moving around the floor because he's doing everything else right. 28 points, 14 boards. And, oh, by the way, Michael, he saved the game with this amazing defensive play.
Wood. Jordan's got it. Tate inside. Block! Nikola Jokic blocked the ball. Not today.
Oh, I mean, that was huge. It was not a pretty game. You know, even Will Barton at the end of the game said, you know, we're going to look back 20 games down the road and we're going to be happy with the record, but we're not going to be necessarily happy with how we got there because we're not in that stage. So, you know, we're not the level that we want to be right now. But that's the important part. You're not at that level where you want to be. The bench is getting better. Michael Porter Jr. goes out with lower back issues. But the important thing is you find a way to win games. We asked this question at the beginning of the season. Are they going to kind of hover around the 500 mark until Jamal Murray gets healthy? And I'd sure like to tell you that they're going to make a big run here and they're going to get 5 to 10 games over 500 and pull away and just be one of those top teams. It sure feels like it's going to be. There's going to be a lot of close games. Because the Joker can't do it all. He's going to wear out at some point, and they are going to rest him. When is that going to be? I don't know. They play Miami tonight at 7 o'clock. They're shorthanded. Michael Porter Jr. goes out with a lower back strain, and he is listed as out tonight. I don't know how serious that is. You're still waiting for Porter to pick it up offensively. Unfortunately, Saturday didn't even get a chance to get going. You get into the first quarter of that game, and he was already hurting. In that situation, there he is. There's Scott Patchen joining me early, man. You put in some overtime. We'll get you a headset and throw you on there, man. You can sit wherever you want. I mean, it's almost your show. It's time. Scott Patchen with me now. We're here from Crazy Carl's Pizza. Are you going to do the pineapple pizza today? Is that going to happen?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think if there's a place, can you hear okay? Everything
yeah.
good?
Why not these ones at the radio?
I don't know. These are the expensive one, man. When you're out on the field, they know that we're going to screw things up. So they have to give us the best equipment.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about the Nuggets a little bit. And, hey, your Steelers got a big one tonight, don't they? They could help the Broncos out by losing to the Bears. Would be great.
So I want them to win, but I should. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, man.
For all my Denver fans, yeah, we'll hope for a loss.
Do you find yourself becoming kind of a Broncos fan?
No.
Or no, you're still, you stay to your roots.
Let me just shut that down real quick.
Not even a little bit.
No, you know, like I'll watch them because it's like local, so it's, you know, it's on all the time. I'll watch it, you know, I appreciate the game, you know, I know a couple of the guys that play for them. So that's cool, but. No, I just, you know, Steelers fan. I got a terrible towel somewhere at home.
What did you think of the Broncos beating Dallas in Dallas? Although it looked like kind of a home game. There was a lot of orange at Jerry's World.
It was, you know, a good game for the defense. I thought the Broncos defense came to play. I thought the Dallas defense did not. It's a bunch of missed tackles, but that's besides the point.
When you see games like that, because, again, and I don't think you're being like a negative Nancy or too positive one way or the other. Do you look at that game and say, perfect game for the Broncos. It was us against the world. You know that feeling. Us against the world. We're going to go no matter what people are saying. Shut out the media. All that stuff. And then you have on the other side of it, you have a Dallas team getting Dak back after being injured last week. They just looked awful. Is it possible that you cut the Broncos were at their absolute best, the Cowboys were at their absolute worst? Maybe that game doesn't tell us a whole lot. It was a weird weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I think momentum, and then there's a lot of things that play into it each and every week as far as scheme and everything like that. So there could have been a lot of factors, you know. And, yeah, you know, maybe Dallas was playing at their worst, but, you know, every year it seems like Dallas, you know, shows you, you know, something and then they flatline usually. So I don't know how much it is to make of that. But
I'm thinking, I mean, okay, you tell me, when a team goes for it on fourth down, you as a defensive guy, goes for it on fourth down, but not like in a – go for it in fourth down situation necessarily. I mean, they're not on their 10-yard line, 5-yard line, whatever. It's not fourth and inches. Do you take offense to that as a defensive player and like, hey, they think they can just run all over us, fourth down, first down, it doesn't matter. Does that enter your brain in that situation?
Maybe some other guys, not me necessarily. I mean, you're just playing the game of football, and if they think they can get it, they think they can get it, you know, and you have to go out there and prove them wrong.
And Dallas went for it four times. Three of those times were still when the game was somewhat in hand. But you heard a lot of the Broncos defensive players saying, hey, we did take offense to that. They, you know, they tried to show us – they wanted to say that they could run us over no matter what.
Didn't work out well for
Denver
them.
Fell. And I think – how much of a momentum shifter is that? When teams – because you're seeing teams go for it on fourth down. College football, NFL, all the time now. Sometimes on their own side of the field – they just want to get something going. They don't want to go back to the sidelines. You're seeing it. The statistics are showing more that if you can keep the drive alive, you have a better shot of scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're starting to see that more and more. How much of a momentum shift one way or the other? because I look at that and say, if Dallas gets those fourth down conversions, those first two anyway, who knows, man? It could have been 10-0 game, 14-0 game, yeah, instead of 16-0 at the end of the half.
Well, they're huge when you stop them. You know, obviously, it just, you know, gives you all the momentum as a team, I feel like, if you stop them on defense, because, you know, it's hard, depending on, you know, the yardage, I feel like, too. But because it all plays into it, too. Call what you're going to, you know, expect from them, you know, what their tendencies are. So I think, you know, if you're able to stop them, yeah, you just get the momentum swinging your way. And, you know, you get one, now you get two, three. I mean, it is what it is. But so, yeah, big momentum swing there for a defensive team right there.
It was a weird weekend in the NFL, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I fully expect – who's favorite tonight? Is Pittsburgh's a favorite tonight, right? But I don't know what to expect in this one tonight between Pittsburgh and Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, Chicago's not been hot all year either.
No. No, they're sitting at 3-5. I mean, Steelers 4-3. Four. They're in the playoff hunt.
Oh, I thought we were 4-4.
Three and five. I mean, they –
Oh, no, I thought the Steelers were 4-4.
Oh, Steelers are 4-3.
Okay.
4-3. So you're feeling a little bit better about that.
Yeah.
You can get in the playoffs, man. I mean, you win this one tonight.
You can sneak in. You see, but, like, I have realistic expectations for my team. You know, I know we're a really good defensive team. You know, I know there's some struggles there. Ben's getting old. You know, I'm not delusional about my team.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of fans get a little delusional. Like, these Cowboy fans, it was good to see them humbled a little bit.
I think even Broncos fans can get that way a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, all this talk about Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver, and I guess today, okay, after that win, feels pretty good. The Broncos have a lot of interesting goals in front of them now. Should be able to beat Philadelphia this weekend, but we'll see. But, you know, this talk about Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking at it going, why would Rodgers want to leave a team that's a contender right now, at least built to be a contender, and Denver going to have a new owner and all this stuff. So I sometimes feel like Broncos country gets a little delusional as well, where they think, oh, we're a good enough franchise where anybody's going to come here and play.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like as a franchise, if you've won previously and recently, you know, maybe you can be a little bit more optimistic. But, you know, some people just have to be realistic with their expectations.
Again, it was a weird weekend in the NFL. Yeah. You have the Falcons beating the Saints. The Falcons are somehow 4-4.
Really?
No idea how that happened.
I have not followed them at all.
Last I checked, they were like 0-2 or something like that, and they're 4-4. Okay. You have the Raiders losing to the Giants.
Yeah, but the Raiders have been doing good, even despite everything that they've been through.
And maybe just finally a case of just too much with that Henry Ruggs situation going, who knows? And I'm not going to blame that necessarily, but you know, Carr was – that was one of his worst – you throw that –
Can we talk about Carr being a teammate? Like the quote I think he said about just loving up everybody. He said the same thing about Gruden. He said the same thing about Ruggs. Like,
yeah, and some people want to get controversial with that.
No, there's nothing – I mean, in my opinion, there's nothing to get controversial about. But let's just talk about how great – you know, and I'm not even a big Derek Carr fan, but, like, you know, one of my best friends is a huge, you know, Derek Carr fan. And I'm kind of siding with him now. Like, I like this guy a lot more. As you know, I liked him a little bit after he said what he said about Gruden, you know. And obviously, that is what it is. I liked him even more when I heard about what he said, you know, after the whole Ruggs situation came out, you know, like just talking about a guy that's always going to be there for you, you know, like that's really what you look forward in a teammate.
I love that for so many reasons, because we are in a culture now where it's like, if you did one bad thing in your life, then you're done.
Yeah.
We don't want to. When did we get to that point? That's awful. But there's also, and again, I don't know what faith, it doesn't necessarily depend on what your faith is. We know Derek Carr is very big into his Christian religion. But if you follow what his religion believes, that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And suddenly you get people going, Henry Ruggs, you should get everything he has coming to him. That doesn't mean Derek Carr disagrees with you. It just means that they're still friends. If you have a family member, a close family member that does something similar to what Henry Ruggs did, God forbid that happens. Do you just turn your back and say, oh, they did a bad thing, maybe the worst kind of thing, and you're turning your back? I mean, that's
no.
I agree 100%. I've really enjoyed what he's had to say about both of those guys.
I feel like that's a true leader right there.
Yeah.
Taking care of your teammates even when, you know, maybe they don't deserve it, or, you know, when they need it most and no one's offering it other than you.
Yeah, so. No question about it. The Bills. How about your old friend? Well, it wouldn't be your friend, Josh Allen, but you with the Wyoming mystique around it, losing to another Josh Allen. There were two Josh Allens on the field.
I saw that.
Jags have the better Josh Allen.
Did you see, I think the Jags released a little like TikTok or something where it was like the quotes from Borat talking about his neighbor. And it's like, but anyways, it was funny. Yeah,
I think
they
compared
both Josh Allens.
It's crazy. The Bills put up 6 points. It's nuts. Jags get 9. Wonder what kind of party Urban Meyer had after that, you know, after losing the first three. And then we saw that party. What's it like after a win with Urban Meyer?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, honest opinion, think Coach Meyer is going to be successful in Jacksonville.
I'll be curious to see. Because again, it's going to take time.
Yeah, right? Like our program here, it's going to take time. You can't just expect it all over one night. You still got to squeeze out part of the culture that's bad that you inherited as a coach. And obviously this is the first real season because you really put an asterisk like next to last year's schedule. We really had four kind of, if you want to look at it, like scrimmages. It's different with fan atmosphere. It's different when you're not having players out every week because of COVID. Just for a bunch of different reasons, but. So, we'll probably talk about that more.
I do want to pick your brain about that because, and this is what I love, so much about these player network segments that we have, you especially on these Mondays coming and talking to us for an hour every single week since you jumped on. And I think what good or bad, because it's not always going to be undefeated seasons. It's not always going to be completely defeated seasons. But we're going to get those good and bads. Certainly a rough weekend for Colorado State. And, Scott, appreciate you popping by. We'll get you some pizza, too. Don't worry.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't have pineapple.
we might have to try one slice. All right.
I'll give you one bite.
One bite.
Everybody gets one bite.
All right, 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back. We're live from Crazy Carl's Pizza, the one off the Timberline location. So come by, see us, grab a slice of pizza. We'll be right back. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
5 minutes until the 1 o'clock hour. Then officially the Scott Patchen Show starts, but it's basically started now. Yeah, we met you in your turf here in Fort Collins today, man.
Yeah.
Didn't make you drive down to Greeley today.
Yeah,
so
it was easy on the car.
It was easy on the car. How's the car doing, by the way?
I got to drop it off again tonight.
Do you really?
I do.
I had to drop my car off, but just for an oil change. Maybe you can give me a lift.
A little more than an oil change. But
but it's still acting up. Tuberculator is messing up again.
The tuberculator.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Still messing up, huh?
Well, there's some things I just got to get fixed. So drop it off. Hopefully, fingers crossed. This is the last time I got to drop it off.
Well, I'll be praying for you, man. No question about it. Second hour, we're gonna talk about the weekend that was and kind of how you handle this stuff as a player. Because I know you have big goals as a team, big goals as a player, and that was not the way the Border War, not the way you guys wanted that to go down. I know that one hurts too.
Yeah.
That being a big rivalry game, the boot and all that stuff. But just kind of wanted to get your thoughts and your take on everything because here you go again. You have. Rams fans freaking out on Twitter, man. Twitter is an interesting place.
Twitter's not a real place.
It's not a real place. I look at all these people that tweet some stuff, and I'm like, would you say that if the person was in here? That's kind of my rule of thumb on Twitter. If I wouldn't say it to your face, I'm not going to tweet it.
No.
Right?
It's because, social media gives you more confidence in you.
Gives you more power, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
All right, 12:57, the Scott Patchen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, which is where we are hanging out today. We're going to order some pizza later on, so come by, say hi to us. Again, live and on location from the Timberline location in Fort Collins. We'll be right back.